Good morning, Kansas City. This is the Border Patrol live on Sports Radio 810 WHB. It's Thursday, October 12, 2017. Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati with Jake Gutierrez. Thank you for joining us today on the show. We'll talk to Buster only at 7:30. Gary Barnett, who was in Kansas City this week, speaking at the Tiger Club of Kansas City on Tuesday. He'll join us at 8:05. Will Carroll at 9:05. And then Deion Clissell will preview high school football with us at 9:30. Got plenty to talk about, so let's get to it. Some interesting baseball games last night in the ALDS and NLDS. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Well, we talked a lot with Mike Boddicker, and none of us could believe that Steven Strasburg was not going to pitch Game 4 in Chicago because he felt... He was ill. He felt under the weather. And Dusty Baker had blamed the change in weather, the very cool air conditioning in their hotel room, and also the Chicago mold. What'd you think from this point on, whatever sport expands into Chicago, if there's ever any new franchise, I think the name of the team should be the Chicago Mold.
Yeah, I like that.
Very powerful.
Mm-hmm. Devastating.
Very worthy adversary. I mean, I'd go see him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, where are you going? Well, I got tickets to the Chicago Mold tonight. Really? Ooh. Well, let me know if you get an extra one. I'd like to go. And so you're wondering, like, first of all, what kind of message does that send? As Mike Boddicker said, what do his teammates think? It just sounded bizarre. It would kind of sound bizarre if it was, you know, game 76 of the regular season. And it sounded really bizarre because it was game 4 of the NLDS and the Nationals were facing elimination. So it almost sounded unbelievable. And then you combine the fact that Strasburg was so good down the stretch and he was so good his first time around against the Cubs. And like, what? And then... The guy that was going to start for him, Tanner Roark, has been known to get his tits lit this season, according to Keith Hernandez.
Mm-hmm. He really has.
Baseball analyst extraordinaire.
Roark's been getting his tits lit.
He really has.
So it's, yeah, he really has. Mm-hmm. So it was all there just to second guess, and you could see the narrative forming. There were people on ESPN radio, I told you yesterday, saying that, oh, Strasburg is soft, the Nationals are soft, Dusty Baker's making excuses already. I mean, it was getting out of hand, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, we find out Steven Strasburg has decided to pitch. And who knows what really happened?
Right.
Did he hear all the criticism? Did he wake up and decide, you know what, I should pitch? Did any of his teammates happen to talk to him? Dude, you need to pitch, man. What the hell?
Did he take some medicine and just feel better? Who knows?
Like what kind of medicine?
Mold medicine.
Give me some of that medicine.
Some Allegra.
Claritin. The point is, this is what should have happened. He should have pitched. And anyone that was speculating, well, maybe his arm. No. Did it look like his arm hurt?
Mm-mm.
7 innings, 3 hits, no runs, 2 walks, 12 strikeouts. Unbelievably dominant. And then guess what happened? The Nationals won 5-0, and they're going back to Washington for game 5. And now, guess what he can wear? He's the guy that when he was sick, he got out of his flu bed and went and shut down the Cubs and did it for the team and did it for the city. And now they got all the momentum and the good feelings in the world heading into game 5.
You know, a lot of my team is kind of under the weather with the change of weather and the air conditioning in the hotel and the air conditioning here. And this is time of the year. You know, for mold around Chicago, I think it's mold because I have it too. So, you know,
And maybe that's Dusty Baker looking back on it. Maybe that was him saying, you know, a lot of guys on the team are sick, so maybe you ought to step up. Who knows?
Right. Who knows? The point is, now he's changed the narrative. They probably don't win if he doesn't pitch. Change the series. And maybe a month from now, we're talking about Washington as the world champs, or at least in the World Series. And, hey, remember when they were down 2-1 and Strasburg wasn't going to pitch? It seems ridiculous now, considering how good he was, right? Mm-hmm. It seems crazy mm-hmm. that he almost didn't pitch, that they had announced he wasn't going to pitch. That seems nuts to me right now. Because I don't think they win the game. And they're out. And can you imagine we heard it yesterday from Mike Boddicker, and what people were already saying, how what that would have done to his reputation. Not that he cares. He makes millions of dollars. Maybe he does, maybe he doesn't. You know what? Maybe he does care, and maybe that's why he pitched.
Yeah.
But look in making one decision and going out there and pitching his ass off in 24 hours, how does that change the way he's going to be viewed now?
Well, he was a guy who had missed out on two postseasons already, once because of an injury and once because they just held him out. He's had a myriad of injuries in his career, so he's got that reputation of a guy who is fragile as a starting pitcher. He's gone from that reputation now to joining Bob Gibson and Sandy Koufax as one of only three pitchers to post double-digit strikeouts in a postseason series, two of them.
And look here.
I mean, now you're in the conversation of Sandy Koufax and Bob Gibson.
And this is what, Washington, remember when they shut him down and didn't use him the first time they reached mm-hmm. the postseason?
Mm-hmm.
And then they lost in dramatic fashion, you know, and Drew Storen, you know, blew a save. And they've had these, they haven't advanced to the NLCS yet, as good as they've been over the past several years, right? And so I think it's a lesson, and this is all, and we'll come full circle to the American League series, what happened last night. This is a lesson that you can't take these playoff appearances for granted.
Mm-hmm.
And this also goes back to me not wanting the Royals to sell and wanting them to take every opportunity to try to get back to the playoffs. Because it's going to be a long time before, it'll be a while before we're talking about the Royals making the playoffs again, I think.
Probably.
It'll at least be a few years. But did anyone really give the Yankees a chance to beat the unbeatable Cleveland Indians that won 102 games? No. They're a wild card team. They were down 3-0 in the first inning to the Minnesota Twins. Blink your eyes, and now they've advanced to the ALCS to take on Houston. Washington, they were so good and so stacked. Well, you know, we'll shut down Strasburg. We're going to get multiple opportunities at this. Probably be to a couple World Series. No. You got to do everything you can when you're in the postseason to try to make it happen right there and try to win a championship, because nothing is guaranteed. Nothing is given. And that's why people wanted Strasburg to pitch. Why it was such a desperate situation? Because of that. He pretty much singled. And I know he didn't. I mean, the Nationals had to score a run or two. That's all they needed. But he pretty much single handedly put them into Game 5 and changed mm-hmm. that series.
Mm-hmm.
That's how important he was. That's why people couldn't believe he's not going to pitch. I mean, if he pitches, they're likely to win. He's that good. He's that unbelievable. Did you hear what Anthony Rizzo said after the game when they asked him what it's like to face Steven Strasburg right now? And he said, remember the first time when you went into a batting cage and you really didn't know how to hit? And you went in there and you felt helpless and you just didn't know how to hit? That's how you feel against Strasburg right now. Think of Anthony Rizzo saying that, a major leaguer. Mm-hmm. He makes you feel like you don't know how to hit. That's something.
That's high praise.
To hear the first baseman of the world champ say, he makes me feel like I don't know how to hit. So that's why it was such a desperate situation to get him to pitch. And now they go to Game 5. And we'll see if they advance to the NLCS. So then we go to the American League. And we'll keep with this theme. Nothing is guaranteed. Nothing is given. How many times has the comparison been made? These Indians are like the 2015 Royals. They're coming off a season where they went to Game 7 of the World Series. They suffered heartbreak, but they've come back with a chip on their shoulder, and it took a while for the Indians to kick it in gear, but when they did, look out. 102 wins. How many games did they win in a row?
22.
You look like you were lucky to win a game against them, mm-hmm. much less beat them in a series. I mean, that's an express train back to the World Series, and they're going to do what the Royals did. They're going to bounce back from a Game 7 heartbreak in the World Series and come back and win the World Series and finish the story with a wonderful ending. Nope. They just blew a 2-0 lead to the Yankees, and now, dating back to last year, they have lost 6 elimination games in a row where they had a chance to eliminate the opposing team. Think about that for a minute. They had the Cubs down 3-1.
Mm.
They lost 3 games in a row when they had a chance to eliminate the Cubs, and here they lose 3 games in a row when they had a chance to eliminate the Yankees.
Wow.
So 6 straight games where if they win the series. 6 straight they've lost.
Mm.
That's mind-blowing, right? That's gut-wrenching if you're an Indians fan. But the point is, look at this team. They've won 22 in a row. They won 102 games. They're coming off losing Game 7 of the World Series. That's all the elements of the story that ends with them winning the World Series. And they just got beat in the ALDS by a Yankees team that wasn't supposed to be much in the postseason, that's arrived a year or two early. And so that should make you and make all of us appreciate even more what the Royals did accomplish. Because that's the way it easily could have ended against Houston in the ALDS when the Royals were down in Game 4 and they looked screwed. And look, we were all thinking about it watching that game. So this is how it's going to end. They go to Game 7 last year, and they're going to lose in 4 games to Houston. This sucks. They come back. They win that game. They win Game 5. Rest is history. We had a parade. And now Indians fans are wondering if they're ever going to have a parade. Because you just can't say, next year. Mm-hmm. Guess what? The Yankees are going to be better next year. And the Red Sox ain't going away. There's nothing given. And I think most people look, it's baseball, it's a playoffs, but we all just kind of assumed, I think we're all rooting for Houston to win in the American League, but we all just kind of assumed, but Cleveland, boy. I mean, what's the Buster say? World Series, World Series, World Series. And that probably wouldn't have been enough to satisfy their fans after what happened last year. And the fact that it's been so long since they've won a World Series.
Mm-hmm.
But if that doesn't remind you and cement how special what the Royals did in 14 and 15 to end that with a championship, because regular season-wise, this Indians team was better than the 15 Royals. I mean, that was a beast.
Mm-hmm.
When they flipped the switch in the second half and they traded for Jay Bruce and all these other things coming together, like, oh boy. When the Yankees were down 2-0, it was over, right?
You sure
thought
so.
It was over?
Yeah.
Did you think the Yankees were gonna win 3 in a row?
No. No.
Game 5 was CC Sabathia and Corey Kluber.
Not a good one for Kluber last night.
Kluber got chased early twice in the series.
Who would have thought that?
Exactly. Baseball would have thought that. And so I'm watching all that stuff last night, and we look back, and we think, well, of course that's the way the story was going to go. The Royals made it to Game 7, had their hearts broken, would not be denied the next year, overcame tremendous odds in the comeback against the Houston Astros, had that dramatic series against the Blue Jays, and they took the title, took the crown that they thought they should have had the year before. That's what the Indians are going to do. Come to find out, it's not that easy. And that makes what the Royals did even more special, right? And we should appreciate it even more. And I feel bad, I mean, for Cleveland. I mean, their fans. That's awful. That it have to be the Yankees. And I don't know if you saw some of the Yankees fans, you know, that were in the crowd. A couple of them that they kept showing. Like, yeah. Like almost like, hey, let's go to Central Casting. Get me the stereotypical Yankees fan. You know, heckling all the other fans and, you know, people are tweeting up. Yep. There's Yankee fan making his presence felt in Cleveland. But again, tip your cap to the Royals for what they pulled off. The Indians are just, And now we'll have a hell of a game five between the Nationals and the Cubs.
Mm-hmm. It'll be fun to watch tonight.
Right.
Good football game tonight. Good baseball game tonight.
You need it, don't you?
I need something.
You need something.
I don't know. I kind of want to walk away from sports for just a little bit, but I'll be watching tonight.
You host a sports talk show.
I know.
So we're going to talk about why Nate is a little on the downside today.
We don't have to if you want to.
We'll do that after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38 The Spot. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Let the record show that I have a connection with the Philadelphia 76ers, and I presented the idea of having Joel Embiid on the show, and Jake and Nate both declined. So,
is that what I said? I said absolutely not.
I'm trying to help.
I was all for it.
I'm trying to help.
Jake was the one running in.
I'm just trying to help.
I appreciate
it. I want
help.
You to feel better because you feel like poop, don't you? Admit it.
Yep.
What happened to Sporting Kansas City last night?
Just
moved on?
Their own goal, just kicking the ball in their own net.
It's a good one.
So I've seen enough of that as a soccer fan the last 2 days.
Good night.
They were dominating the game for the first hour, and they lost 2-1. So, yeah. Back at it on Sunday. All of a sudden, a little more pressure on these last two games than we thought there was going to be.
So, under pressure.
Yep. Yeah. Just like David Bowie, they're under pressure.
That's a great song.
Oh, it's a beautiful song.
I'd like you to play that song if you could.
Beautiful song.
I prefer a different pressure song.
This is one of the best live songs you will ever have the pleasure of watching someone perform. Let me promise you that.
The Bowie's pressure. There, I want to go Billy Joel.
Did you say David Bowie's under pressure is generic?
I mean, you hear that all the time. His is the most, when you refer to pressure, that's the most played song, probably. Right?
You see these overused things.
Yeah.
So this is, I'm not going to argue. I mean, I love both of them. I love this song. I love everything that Billy Joel performs. And having been a, lucky enough, I think I've seen him now, after I took Richie St. John for his first Billy Joel concert 2 years ago. I think that makes it 7 for me. One of my favorite, my very all-time favorite singers and performers. If there's a top 5 that I was forced to come up with, Billy Joel would be in it. And I thank you. Okay, now I'm going to read this to you, and I'm going to have you comment. Because you have had a tough couple days, right?
Yep.
Or wrong?
Okay. Yes, I have.
So do you ever read the University Daily Kansan?
I haven't.
Known as the UDK.
Yeah, I have not read it in a long time.
Do you read the UDK?
There you go.
That's what I did back when I was in college. Yeah, I read it.
Do you know who Connor Mitchell is?
I don't know.
Or Sean Collins or Wesley Dotson?
No.
These are the people that wrote this. I'm going to read this to you, and then you can tell me your response. FBI says it cannot release documents regarding KU involvement with Adidas. The Federal Bureau of Investigation, in response to a Freedom of Information Act request, told the Kansan on Wednesday that it has documents related to the University of Kansas and its sponsorship with the Adidas apparel company, but cannot release them due to an ongoing legal investigation. The presence of documents responsive to the Kansan's request filed on September 27th does not necessarily implicate the university in wrongdoing, but appears to contradict what Kansas athletics officials said after the scandal broke. The Kansan asked for all documents and communications within the investigation related to the University of Kansas and any of its sponsorship deals with Adidas or any investigation of Kansas basketball coaches. He goes on to say that on the 26th, the FBI announced that four assistant basketball coaches from Arizona, Auburn, Oklahoma State, and Southern California have been arrested on a slew of bribery and fraud charges related to the investigation into Adidas. And then, of course, Rick Pitino was fired. Wednesday, the FBI said the material requested by the Kansan is located in an investigative file, which is exempt from disclosure. The Bureau went on to say in a letter to the Kansan, the records responsive to your request are law enforcement records. There is a pending or prospective law enforcement proceeding relevant to these responsive records, and release of the information in these responsive records could reasonably be expected to interfere with enforcement proceedings. And then there's plenty more details, but that's pretty much the main topic of the article. And they also went on to talk about this James Gatto. Mm-hmm. Is it Gatto, or is it like El Gato?
I'm guessing Gatto, but
I'd like to think it's Gatto.
Mm-hmm. I love your efforts to try to make Nate feel better.
Well,
yeah, this is really helping. Thanks a lot.
Well, we have to.
What else?
We have to get to it. This happened late last night.
Would you like to just come over and kick me squarely in the balls?
Sure.
Well, yeah. I mean, yeah. Is that an offer? Is that a real offer?
Oh, okay. Nate.
Rochambeau, you.
Go rock every time.
Man. Good times.
Any comments?
Look.
Because everybody was retweeting and commenting last night. I have no comments because I wanted to hear from you guys.
Well, look, the part that has to be concerning, if you're a Kansas fan, is the quote where they say the records responsive to your request are law enforcement records. There is a pending or prospective law enforcement proceeding relevant to these records. So that sure sounds like those records could be leading to the FBI, law enforcement proceeding. I mean, does that mean like charging somebody with something, arresting somebody for something? What is this pending or prospective law enforcement proceeding?
It could mean something and it could mean nothing.
But you sure gotta, how could you not be worried that it means something? Four guys have been arrested. The FBI is showing that they mean business with this, and the guy that's at the center of this Jim Gatto, has connections with
El Gato,
the program, and they've got files on the University of Kansas that could lead to a what was the word again? Prospective. Legal proceeding? Is that what it said? Law enforcement proceeding. Hey, I mean, as you and I talked about, nothing would surprise me at this point. It's like the old steroid scandal. You won't surprise me if anybody gets in trouble with this. So, I feel like that's got to be concerning at least, right?
Jake?
Not worried about it.
Not worried about it because you don't care if something happens or because you don't think something's going to happen?
Yes. Fill us in on your approach.
Both. I feel like if they had enough information, things would have already fallen in place. I think this might be, hey, we have some information. See if they can fish out some more, somebody who's involved in a situation that was unkosher, then... Oh, man, I better go report something. Or who knows? But I feel like if they had enough information that I'm sure they're... I'm curious how many schools they have something pending on other than Kansas.
Right.
Is it every Adidas school that has any contract? They're all pending?
Could very well be.
Right. So,
how many Adidas schools are there?
A lot. 10? Adidas schools?
Yeah, there's not that many.
There's not very many.
I thought it was 11.
Yeah, I mean, I'm throwing out 10. When I heard the number, it was somewhere around 10.
So maybe it's all 10 of them, you know?
Right. And, I mean, we know that they are investigating Nike as a corporation in this as well. So could they have files on other schools that are Nike schools? I don't know.
Get to work, UDK.
They're working on it.
Well, they did get to work.
I mean, that's clear. They've filed an open information request for the files, and the FBI is like, well, we're not turning the files over because this is an ongoing investigation. I mean, basically, that sounds like KU's being investigated.
Right.
Now, do they...
Or it could be nothing. It could be something.
Wouldn't you think that every Adidas school is being investigated?
Yeah, I would.
Right.
I would, but...
I don't know.
But...
So to answer your question, both. Not worried about it, and I'm not sure I care much until something actually happens. Until maybe some charges are actually filed.
So then you would care, or no?
Oh, absolutely.
If somebody goes walking out Allen Fieldhouse in handcuffs, that'll bother you.
I think they're at that point in time, you could be concerned.
That's a very carefree approach.
He's very zen-like.
Why am I going to waste time?
Jake's very zen-like these days.
Oh, thanks, Nate.
You know, philosophical.
Yeah, I mean, you know, what can you do? You can't control it.
No, and who knows how long it's going to take? Is this the type of investigation that, you know, 2 years from now, because didn't the original investigation that led to all these arrests took 3 years, right? So, I mean...
having someone close to me, once the subject of an FBI investigation, they can be very lengthy. So
is that right?
I can tell you that, Kansas City. A lot of questioning goes on.
So, I mean, that's part of it, too, that stinks. It's like, man, how long is this going to hang out there? You know, is this going to be, like I said, this is going to be a year or two down the road and we still don't have a resolution? If they find out that they don't have, because I know of a company that a friend of mine worked for that FBI swarmed their building and took files out and investigated them for all this stuff. And then they came back and said, yep, you're good. You know, and nothing happened. But there was a closure to it, but it was terrifying for about 6 months, you know, because it's like, oh, what's going to happen to us? You know, as employees, are we in trouble here? I would think, gosh, if I'm at Kansas right now and the FBI is telling people, yeah, we've got files on Kansas, it's an ongoing investigation, that would make me incredibly nervous. Maybe I'm just a worry wart, but
right.
I mean,
right now, are you incredibly nervous?
I don't work at Kansas, so I'm a little bit more like Jake on a lot of these things these days. I mean, but
you're a little bit like Charlie Weiss.
What are you going to do?
His approach, basically.
Yeah, what are you going to do? You know,
a very carefree attitude.
I mean, really, what are you going to do?
Right, you can't.
It's nothing. What am I going to do? I don't have any files.
So that, you know? Did you see it right when it was like tweeted out last night around 9:45?
I mean, what are you going to do?
A good friend of ours who likes to stir things up maybe texted that to us. Right about the time I got off the air after Sporting Kansas City blew a lead last night.
Who texted? I missed it. Who actually?
I assume it was Sal. It was in that text chain.
I was going to make an
educated guess. He's a KU basketball fan, though.
Is that right?
Is he?
He was last year.
Ooh.
Well, probably not now since, you know, Missouri.
Yeah,
has Michael Porter.
Yeah. Lebo shockingly followed up with a smart aleck response.
No.
And I was like, yeah, this is what I wanted to see right when I got off the air with that game. So thank you for that.
What was I doing? Oh, I was watching the
playoffs.
I was begging the Indians to come back.
Not going to do it.
And I thought they were going to win.
Let me print.
I thought they were going to win. Up into the point that when Brett Gardner got his hit, like, oh, it's over. But when it's 3-2 the whole time, they're going to come back and win. You watch. Ninth inning, they're going to come back and win. Chapman's going to blow it. And then freaking Brett Gardner, 2-run score, and it's 5-2. Like, oh, jeez. You gotta be kidding me. You would think I'd be over that. I just, just watching the Yankees. Go, Astros. I tell you this, and we'll break, but I'll tell you this, that really sets up a pleasurable viewing experience for me. Because I couldn't possibly, the only way I could be rooting for the Astros more would be if they relocated to Kansas City. That's how heavily I'll be rooting for the Astros.
Yeah. Yep.
And Jose Altuve. Like, go Houston Astros and Carlos Beltran. Go Astros. Oh, let me see. What do you say?
Eh.
I want to see what the contrarian says today, and then I will flip my lid right now.
Oh, you think I'd ever root for
I don't know.
Come on, dude. That's insulting.
I just don't want you to say, oh, I've got to root for the Yankees in this one.
Dude.
You love the Astros in this series, right?
Love them. I'm insulted.
Well, you know what?
I am
sometimes
offended.
You insult yourself.
I'm offended by that.
Mm-hmm. You should be.
Hey, Hold on.
You should look within yourself.
Hold on.
And try to decide what led me to even think that. How have you presented yourself?
Yeah, I'm the guy who picked the Raiders.
So, there you go. Mm. There's an uneven pattern of behavior that leads me to question you every turn now. So,
yep.
You know, I don't know.
But
I don't know.
Hey, I'm not rooting for that to happen. I just predicted it.
You've been known to root for things
that
will prove you right as opposed to what's best.
I sure in the hell was not rooting for Trinidad and Tobago.
Why did you have to say that?
We weren't even talking about that, really.
Man.
We weren't even talking about that. That's like you taking a shot at Nate.
But that's kind of
Well,
right.
Nate's taking... What time is it? It's 6:40, and this guy's taking a beating. You need to back off. Back after this on WHP and 38 The Spot. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Let's get an injury report from Chiefs head football coach Big Red, Andy Reid.
As far as injuries go, Chris Conley has a ruptured Achilles, and we'll give you whatever we're doing with him. We'll give it to you whenever we do it. Tardif still has a knee sprain, won't practice today. Justin won't practice today with a calf spasm, but doing well. Trav is still in the protocol and doing very well with a concussion. Mitch is making improvement with a foot sprain. Steven Terrell is in the protocol with a concussion. And then Albert Wilson has a sprained knee, a small part on his knee. So I'm doing well, but they're not going to practice today. So
D Ford's back.
D who?
Got him!
That could cheer me up a little bit.
So, would you like the Chiefs to err on the side of caution and not rush these players back and get them ready for the quick turnaround Thursday night game against the Raiders?
Yep.
Or do you want to get them out there against the Steelers? That's important, too.
Err on the side of caution.
I mean, that could be... Looking forward, that could be home field. It could be the difference in home field advantage.
Err on the side of caution. I think that Zombo's better against the run than D Ford.
You know what? Say something.
Throw caution to the damn wind.
D Ford looks like he's a full participant, so he's going to play.
Yeah,
okay. He sees the other guys like you know LDT and Mitch Morse and Travis Kelce and Albert Wilson.
I mean, I think you just got to.
Travis Kelce would be the biggest. When we've seen them, they were able to deal with the offensive line injuries. But Travis Kelce, if he missed the Pittsburgh game. And Conley's already out. And then Albert Wilson. DeMarcus Robinson. Step up.
See the debut of J.U. Chesson?
D-Rob.
D-Rob.
So Jake says... Do what you gotta do, get him on the field.
Yes.
D who?
And Nate said, you're on the side of caution.
Huh.
So we'll see. That's a lengthy injury report, though.
It's just a long way to go in the season.
These nuts. Gotti.
But
got
you could.
Gotti.
You could. I mean, you could put a stranglehold on this division and the AFC if you can win these two games, Pittsburgh and Oakland, and then you're chilling, and you got a bye week coming up. Ah!
I trust the depth on almost all those positions. I mean, Kelsey's the hardest one to replace, obviously. So hopefully he's, hey, look, if he's cleared the concussion protocol, there's nothing to be cautious about, right? He's fine.
Not yet. Still in it.
I'm saying if he's, right. if he's cleared it.
That's the question.
It doesn't matter, you know. We'll be right. Clears it or he doesn't.
Be right back after this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. It will be a fun-filled 12 hours or so for me. Coming up tonight, from 7 until 10 o'clock, I will be appearing outside of the Beast Haunted House down in the West Bottoms. Come on down and join us. It's almost Halloween. Bring the kids down to the Beast tonight. And don't stand in those long, 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 long lines on Friday and Saturday or whatever. Do it. People watch. Pretty good. But Thursday night, come on down. And it feels like Halloween weather. It feels like there's a haunted chill in the air. So, bring down a date and you can be Mr. and Mrs. Snuggles! Tonight at the Beast from 7 until 10 o'clock. Also, tomorrow, I will be broadcasting my half of the show. We're the Border Patrol, don't you know? Nate will be here anchoring things.
I get to sit in the big chair tomorrow?
Yep.
Oh, boy!
I'll make sure to bring the boosters.
Nice and warm.
I've got my own, buddy.
Sun Fresh.
Got a phone book in the
in Oak
office.
Grove. Nate keeps asking me, when are we ever going to do part of the show in Oak Grove?
Been asking
Your
for a while.
Answer is tomorrow.
Finally.
At the Sun Fresh, 503 South Broadway in Oak Grove.
Isn't that where Connell, our intern's from?
Is it?
He's from Oak Grove, right?
Born I don't know. I can't ever understand
him out there.
Born and raised?
Yeah. Actually, you're right.
Right.
Get a serving of biscuits and gravy, hash browns, and your choice of meat for just $5 with proceeds going to charity. You can also meet and get an autograph from Daron Cherry. Daron Cherry's going to be there signing autographs.
Hello.
At 8:30. The Zarda smoker will be on hand from 11 until 6.
The 810 smoker will be on hand,
that's
too.
That's right. He's going to be conducting everything. He sent me the copies right here. Featuring $10 slabs of ribs and Zarda sandwiches. Two for $4. Whoa, sandwiches two for $4. Hold on here. Choose either burnt ends or pulled pork. All that and more tomorrow. So tonight at the Beast from 7 to 10. And tomorrow, 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. at the Sunfresh Oak Grove. I'm coming to see you tomorrow on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We've got Buster Olney coming up, Gary Barnett, Will Carroll, Dion Clisso. Remember, tonight I'll be at the Beast Haunted House down in the West Bottoms, not too far off the 12th Street Bridge. And then tomorrow I'll be broadcasting the Border Patrol live from the Sunfresh in Oak Grove. Daron Cherry will be there, too, on Sports Radio 810 WHB.